You too can be an aerospace investment news reporter. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature and the second of three parts of SpaceX CEO Elon Musk's Friday press conference following the successful first launch of the Falcon 9. Thanks for downloading us today. By the way, if you missed part one, find it in the special feature dated June 8th. Teleconferencing has made it possible for reporters to question newsmakers anywhere in the world without ever leaving their desks. One possible downside? They no longer have the cab ride or airport layover to provide time to look at the company's financials before the conference begins.
And our next question comes from Brian Deegan from Investors Business. Please state your question.
Elon, could you tell us how you see your business plan unfolding at this point going forward and your ability to make SpaceX into a profitable business enterprise?
Oh, you know, I guess a lot of people don't quite appreciate that SpaceX has been profitable for the last three consecutive years. And we expect SpaceX to be profitable in 2010 as well, which would make it the fourth consecutive year. There's been, strangely, even though I think I've mentioned this in the press a few times, this odd assumption that SpaceX is not profitable. But we certainly are, and that's independently audited. And NASA reviews all our financials as well, by the way, as do our customers. You know, when somebody signs up for a launch for SpaceX, they, particularly if it's a big dollar item, they always want to look at our financials, make sure we're sound, and we are. I should also mention we have over $2.5 billion in revenue on contract ahead of us. That doesn't count the stuff we've done.
And do you expect to see more contracts as a result of your success today? Perhaps people waiting on the sidelines to see proof of concept. Do you think you might see maybe a surge of some kind in new contracts as a result of your successful launch today?
Absolutely. I think you can expect some major announcements with respect to new launches signed. In fact, there have been several customers that have signed before this launch, and but it's just that We always wait for our customers to take the lead on making an announcement. So we're going to be announcing a number of major contracts that were actually awarded before this launch, and no doubt even more that are awarded after. I feel very confident in SpaceX becoming the leader in global space launch, I think, in a relatively short period of time.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And our next question comes from Todd Halperson from USA Today. Please state your question.
Congratulations, first, Elon. I'm just also kind of wondering how you think the road forward is going to be in terms of when you will be able to achieve the milestones that are laid out for the COTS program, and how soon you believe you'll be launching both cargo that berths at the International Space Station and perhaps astronaut crews. Thanks.
Sure. So the next launch of Falcon 9 is also going to be an important one. That's going to carry our Dragon spacecraft. It's a fully operational Dragon spacecraft, except it'll be doing orbital maneuvers and reentry and all that. It won't be going to the space station, but that's about the only significant difference. And that's we're expecting to launch probably this summer. And then the second NASA launch, probably around the second quarter of next year. Again, there's some external dependencies there, which is passing all of the space station visiting vehicle requirements, which are very, very intense. I mean, they're essentially human rating requirements because of the fact that you've got humans on board the space station, and you know anything that goes wrong with our spacecraft could endanger them. So those are sort of the two big milestones coming up. As far as astronaut transport, really, that's a function of how soon Congress gives the approval for commercial crew. We feel very confident that we can add the launch escape system to our Dragon spacecraft and develop that and test that within 2 years, and then add another year for uncertainty. So that's why we say 3 years from when we receive a contract from NASA. So if we were to receive a contract from NASA to do commercial crew this year, then we would expect to start delivering crews in 2013.
If I could just follow real quickly, I wondered if you could elaborate on your statement about how this launch validates the president's still being debated space plan as laid out in the FY 2011 budget. As you spoke before the launch, it was portrayed as not exactly a do or die mission, and how do you believe this validates the president's plan?
Well, I think it's certainly a very strong data point in favor of the president's plan. I do think it vindicates the president's plan to some degree. I wouldn't say that it is that this shows, with unequivocal accuracy that it's correct, that the president's plan is correct. But I do think it is. I think the fair and objective assessment of this flight is that it is to a significant degree a vindication of what the president has proposed.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And our next question comes from Alan Boyle from MSNBC.com. Please state your question.
Hi, congratulations, Elon. I wanted to ask, some of the people around here have been asking, okay, when do we get a ride on this? and I hadn't thought of that, but do you see any applications of this for space passengers beyond NASA? Have you gotten to that part, or are you still, is that still far beyond what you're thinking about right now?
Long-term, that is definitely our goal. As I said, before the launch, the long-term goal of SpaceX is the democratization of space, making space accessible to as many people as possible. That is an extremely difficult technical task, and one which we obviously can't approach lightly, because safety and reliability are paramount. But it is my greatest hope that SpaceX will one day enable almost anyone to go to space, and we're going to try to make that happen as soon as possible, without sacrificing reliability and safety. I would hope that that it's possible that we start taking non-NASA people to orbit maybe as soon as 5 or 6 years from now. That would be, I think, that would be our aspiration.
And our next question comes from Tariq Malik from space.com. Please state your question.
Thank you. I have, one and a follow-up. Elon, I guess with this first flight kind of in the books now, I'm curious how your data analysis is going to proceed. Does your team take a break? Do you jump right into the numbers? How are the next few weeks going to be for SpaceX and your team while the test article and the second stage are up there joined together? Thanks.
Sure. SpaceX, I mean, we're basically a bunch of hardcore engineers, so we can't help but want to, we like drilling into the data and sort of spending, hours kind of poring over it to sort of see, how well did it work, little indications of where maybe it won't work in the future, how can we improve things, that kind of thing. So we're already doing that, actually. So we'll be poring over the data right away, I think we'll probably have it sort of fully digested in about a month or so. Tonight we're going to have a good time, drink a few margaritas, maybe more than a few, and definitely celebrate. It's been a great day, and just couldn't think of a better reason to have a party.
Great. And then just looking ahead to the next launch as early as this summer, I'm just wondering if there's room, based on whatever you find from this flight, to make modifications either to hardware or software, how flexible it is, given that everything's pretty much 99% there.
I think, with SpaceX, we work pretty quickly. So, if we find that something needs to be adjusted, certainly software is relatively easy. Software is kind of my strong point, having, it's what I sort of started out doing when I was a kid and did a lot of in Silicon Valley. So I think we've got a really badass software team. So we won't have any trouble making modifications on that front in advance of launch. As far as hardware is concerned, we're pretty quick on the hardware front too. I think we'll any modifications that we think are necessary, we'll do them. And frankly, if we do end up having to delay the upcoming launch, then we'll do so, because we're only going to lift off when we've done everything we can possibly think of to make the flight good.
The successful first launch of Falcon 9 on Friday was a game changer in many ways. But more important in many ways was the successful orbital insertion of the Dragon spacecraft itself. In a moment, where the COTS discussion goes from here. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to the special feature from AeroNews.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. We're listening today to installment two of the Q&A session with reporters from SpaceX CEO Elon Musk's Friday press conference following the successful first launch of the Falcon 9 rocket. Putting the Dragon spacecraft in orbit was the less visible but possibly more significant achievement by SpaceX on Friday. There's pressure from some federal lawmakers, who apparently weren't paying attention as plans were being made to retire the shuttle fleet, to shorten the 5 to 7 year gap before the U.S. was again to have manned spaceflight capabilities. Now, with the Obama budget calling for cancellation of NASA's Constellation program and Friday's success by SpaceX, the logical question becomes, could private spaceflight possibly fill that gap sooner than NASA could have? This has to do with a program with the acronym COTS, for Commercial Orbital Transportation Services. So far, SpaceX is expected to be ready to move cargo to the International Space Station as a contractor to NASA within 3 years. What about using the Dragon for manned crew rotation missions?
And we'll take our next question from Keith Cowling from NASAWatch.com. Please state your question.
First of all, on behalf of Mark Boucher and myself, congratulations on this quite an accomplishment. Question. Earlier, you talked the other day. Actually, you talked about possibly accelerating your COTS flights, and you know, there's the usual dance with NASA as to you know how to do that. How much of that process was just the standard meeting of requirements, and how much do you think was along the lines of, well, let's see if how your first launch goes?
I think it's really just the former. At least I think it was NASA's focus is very much on the Dragon spacecraft rather than the Falcon 9 launch vehicle, because Dragon is what it's got to approach and berth with the space station, and then back away, and so making sure that the space station, which is sort of $100 billion asset, and obviously the people on board, is safe is kind of the overriding focus. And it is very difficult to meet the two failure tolerance requirements and all the weld inspection requirements and these structural safety margins, the micrometeorite protection. It's a really tough thing, And I'm not suggesting that it should be any less tough than it is, but it is a very stringent set of requirements, and just takes time to sort of understand and go, you know, and meet all of them. So I don't think it's related to this flight, but perhaps this flight is at least helpful on a psychological level.
In a follow-up, if I could, you are now discussing the possibility of flying crew members. Have you given thought yet as to how you will get your crew members? Will you require that they actually have flown in space? And specifically, is Ken Bowersox slated to fly on any of these missions?
Well, NASA is really going to be the decision-maker on that front. If NASA wants SpaceX personnel to fly on some of those early flights, then we'll do so. I think Ken would certainly be a strong candidate, given his experience, really deep experience with the space shuttle and with the Soyuz, and of course spending quite a bit of time on the space station. So I would imagine that that there's a good chance that Ken is on one of those flights if it's up to SpaceX.
Okay, thank you. Again, congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. And our next question comes from Amy Clamper from Space News. Please state your question.
Hi, Elon. A couple things. I was wondering if you could tell me the status of the hardware development for the second COTS flight, second and third COTS flights, if the rocket is how far along it is
to
completion.
So the rocket is done. That's 100% done. And it's actually just waiting in Texas. That would be Senator Hutchinson State, waiting in Texas to be transferred to the Cape. So we're going to probably transport the rocket to the Cape sometime next month. The Dragon spacecraft, we're about to go through a demonstration readiness review with NASA. So it's, like I said, sort of 99% done, and that'll ship to the Cape as soon as that kind of last 1% is done. Sometimes that last 1% can be somewhat pernicious, so it's difficult to predict an exact date, but I would expect it to probably get shipped to the Cape within 2 to 3 months.
And then for the second COTS flight, how far along are you in development of both Falcon and Dragon?
So that second COTS flight, which would be the third flight of Falcon 9,
right.
that vehicle is in production right now. So we're just building up the stages. The engines are the first stage engines are done. Second stage engine is almost done, and the stages are being manufactured right now. So we expect that to be done well in advance of when it needs to fly.
Okay. And then could you clarify something you said during the press conference the other day? You mentioned somebody asked about the total investment SpaceX has put into development of Dragon, or I'm sorry, Falcon 9. You said it was $350 to $400 million.
Yeah, that's a Falcon 1 and Falcon 9 inclusive
together. And is that, does that include government investment, or is that purely just SpaceX investment?
That's just the amount of money spent on those two developments. And then there's I'm sort of quoting off the cuff here, but another sort of $150 to $200 million on Dragon itself.
On Dragon itself. But does that do those figures include NASA investment?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
In tomorrow's special feature, we'll hear the third of three installments of this press conference, starting with thoughts on the significance of last Friday's success to other would-be private sector space providers. Elon Musk is the CEO and Chief Technology Officer of Space Exploration Technologies, a.k.a. SpaceX. Find out more at spacex.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.